guys. Welcome to Wham Bam Pow, the show that you love, a podcast about movies, sci-fi, and action. I just want to give a shout out to everybody that came to see me and Cameron Esposito on tour in the many places that we stopped recently. The gal that sent me the Lego Back to the Future set came on out. A gal made us little tiny shirts with bow ties. Thank you so much. And thanks to all the dudes that came out and said, hey, I listened to your show. Really appreciate you too. It's not just the ladies, it's the guys too. And also, what was the other thing I was going to say? Also, shout out to the white dude that talked to Cameron Esposito today, who recognized her and was like, hey, thanks. I listened to your podcast and it really helps me talk to my female friends and or relatives she couldn't remember. And so she just wanted me to send a shout out to that guy. Thank you. You made our day. Because he didn't know about white male privilege before our show. So we did it. And who's we today? We today consists of me, Rhea Butcher, your host, while Cameron Esposito is, she doesn't have a nickname. Weird. Cameron, Boss Esposito.
Boss Esposito.
Is writing her book, her novel, from the sea, so she can't come into the show. But with me today, as always, Coco Palau himself,
Ali.
Mr. Ricky Carmona. How are you doing,
Hello.
Mr. Ricky Carmona?
Rhea Pampelmuse Butcher.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Excellent.
And
excellent.
That groan.
Oh, that groan.
From the corner. Who's that,
from
Ricky?
From the corner. Friend of the show.
Yes.
Author. From the streets of the Indoor Kids, the one and only... The Gynomite!
There it is.
Emily Gordon is up in this piece today, everybody.
I just want the recording of you saying that. That was the best version of that ever.
The Gynomite!
That should be your calendar notification.
Like, that
every time
be.
You have to do something, Gynomite!
I just changed my alarm sound on my phone to Happy Happy Joy Joy from Ren and Stimpy. Yeah. So now when I have to wake up in the morning, it's a, hello, people, are you happy? I'll teach you to be happy. I'll teach your grandmother to suck eggs. And it's been great so far.
I love that it's that part.
It's actually the whole song.
Oh, okay.
But, what am I? Hello.
Because some people might skip to the Happy Happy Joy Joy, but not you. Not Emily.
How does that song
Gordon.
Start exactly? Hello, are you... I don't know.
Well,
I'm going to waste their time talking about it.
No, this is important.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on
the
show.
Thank you for being all up in this piece.
Oh. Yes, we're happy to have you.
Yes.
We're going to talk about what movie?
Woo-hoo.
Spy.
Yeah.
Which is in theaters right now, so you should totally go out and see that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to give you a spoiler-full review of that later in the show. And up next, we're going to talk about news, reviews, and things you can use. All right, we're back with some news, reviews, and things you can use. Usually this is just news, and it's going to just be news.
Yeah.
Nothing you can use, really, unless you get
I mean, you
have.
Can use news.
You can use news.
You can use news.
Mm-hmm. And then you can review said news, which has been used.
Unless it gives you the blues.
I wish the facial expression that I just made could transfer into sound because
it would
perfect.
Be like,
because it was a happy one. But last week we were talking about Ghost Dog himself, Mr. Forrest Whitaker, and the new news,
the newest
for
the
us
news.
To review is that Forrest Whitaker is going to be in Star Wars Rogue One.
Whoa,
the spinoff. The Gareth Edwards helmed one.
Yes. There's so many random ones.
There's so many that that's my other news item, and I'm going to just toss it into this one, is that Michelle McLaren might direct the third one.
I did see that. I saw that headline.
Because the second one is Rian Johnson, right?
That is correct.
Yes.
Okay. Which he's also going to film that on film. Crazy, right?
That is crazy.
Film. On film.
On film.
A film on film.
Film.
Yeah. And these movies are supposed to be like more like Hamburger Hill. So what do you guys think of that news? All that Star Wars news.
In what way are they going to be like Hamburger Hill?
I was going to say also
they're going to be more serious, I guess. Just like Men on a Mission type movie.
Mm.
Which, how is Star Wars not Men on a...
Okay. That's interesting because then you're like, yeah, it's just... Okay, well, we just also say it's Star Wars also.
Yeah, it's also just Star Wars and it's
this
a little bit darker.
This one's going to be like... The other Star Wars, the other seven Star Wars movies that are coming out. Hamburger Hill. When is the last time anybody said Hamburger Hill
I just started thinking about Hamburger Helper and got pretty excited.
And I was thinking about Hamburger Time
and
got really excited.
Yeah.
It's So.
Burger Time is a good.
That's what I meant.
That's how little it feels like we care about the Star Wars movies that we're just talking about Hamburger
Other
Helper
things.
And Burger Time.
Yes. Oh, yeah. For sure.
But what about Forrest Whitaker, though? Because I feel like that's a good addition.
I like when he acts. It's been a while.
It's been a minute, but I enjoy Forrest Whitaker in anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in anything, he's going to be in the new Crow remake.
Let's cancel that. I enjoy Forrest Whitaker in everything.
Except
any remake of The Crow.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're doing that. And listen, I have a weird relationship with that movie because I was a goth kid.
I don't know why they're doing that
Here
with
we
Emily
go.
Gordon.
Yes. Say that
I'm
shit, girl.
Like,
say that shit.
Why are you... I just have a weird relationship with it because I did... When it came out, I was like, this... It's too... It's like The Craft that for like 3 weeks afterwards, every girl in my high school thought they were goth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just how it is. And you just have to ride that wave and let it pass. But I just did not think that was a good movie. And my husband and I argue about this movie all the time because he thinks it's wonderful. And the soundtrack, great.
To The Crow? Are we talking about The Crow or The Craft?
I'm talking about The Craft. Okay. Now, The Craft is a great movie. Upon later reflection, I was like, it turns out this is great. except when Ben Stiller's wife gets racist for no reason.
I'm sorry, Emily. I've never seen The Craft.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Ricky. Get out of here right now.
It's very sexy. It's a very fun, campy movie.
Yeah, it's a great. It's a perfect 90s movie.
It's a perfect 90s movie. The Crow, on the other hand, is not. And
Wait a second.
I agree. I 100% agree.
I feel like we reviewed it on this show, and, well, I thought it was blasphemy, but I guess you're on board with what Rhea and Cameron think. I was like, oh, it's great. And
I didn't have fun watching it.
Did
I
did not
it
enjoy
like,
it at all.
It was fun at all.
It was too dark and like it didn't have any, there was no fun or magic to it. And then that guy died. Bummer. I don't want him to die.
I mean, no, of course not. Yeah. But like
so you
said,
want him to die, is that
no,
what?
No, no.
It makes it so much better.
If it's what brings The Crow to us, it'd be terrible. Oh, I love The Crow because the soundtrack is great. And I thought it looked, I think it's a beautiful looking movie.
I just remember
Michael Wink caught up all
wet?
Up in that piece.
Ugh.
It is very wet. It's like Seven. It literally rains the entire movie.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wet all the time.
You can't wet all the time. I think that's the line, right?
That's great.
Oh, boy.
Were you talking about Forrest Whitaker because of Dope by any chance?
We know. Were we talking about Forrest Whitaker?
Hamburger Helper, and then he's playing Hamburger Helper in a Star Wars movie.
Remember, we were talking about Forrest Whitaker last week.
Yes, he's the new spokesman of Hamburger.
I said, I think I said something about the butler, and you were like, Oscar winning.
That's right, the last king of Scotland.
Yeah. That's right.
Boom. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why.
I'm excited to see Dope, which I think he produced.
Yeah,
he may be directed. I don't know. No, he just produced it.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's involved.
I saw today that you can pay for that movie with Bitcoin.
I saw that. I have a question about that movie, Dope.
Yes.
What is Bitcoin?
And I think it might be bad timing for the movie. Not that there's anything bad about the movie, but it seems like the movie is about these guys aren't cool in this world that they live in.
Right.
And they got like high top fades. They're like everything that they're assuming they do is like not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Is exactly like the cool dope shit to do right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that the premise? I've tried really hard to stay away from any information about the movie other than like I saw an image from it and I was like, I want to see that. Like that's all. I just immediately was gravitating towards it. So I don't even know that much.
It's been a while. I saw the trailer and I was like, oh yeah. But this was like a while ago. And then I was talking to friend of the show, Matt Bronger, this weekend. And he was like, yeah, what's up with that movie Dope? Where all the shit that they're saying is like, nah, man, that's not cool.
It's cool.
Everything that's cool right now.
That's interesting.
And that's just one of those, like, the timing of when that movie is being released, like, oh.
And also when it was made, which who knows what was happening when it was made. Yeah. Well, that's weird.
I know,
I'm gonna
right?
watch it anyway.
I want to see it, but I don't know. I was just like, oh, it seems like the guys look like they are out of tune, even though they're exactly in tune. You know what I'm saying? Like, the wrong message is being put out.
I get that.
And that's not what they're trying to say.
Let's all go see Dope together, you guys.
This is the greatest.
That sounds great. I was just going to ask you guys this general question, because you've been seeing a lot of movies lately. Emily, you saw a bunch of movies this weekend.
I did.
Ricky, you've watched a bunch of movies recently.
Oui.
What do you guys think about that Fantastic Four trailer? Because it's in front of everything.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is anybody going to go see that movie? I mean, people are going to go see that movie because it will be in the theater.
It's oversaturation of the market, I feel like. And I feel like that's kind of part of it. And I love Miles Teller. Mm-hmm. Love Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
I don't know who the other two are.
It's Jamie Bell and Kate Mara. So it's actually
Kate Mara's great.
Good,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. People.
I just don't know. I think that the first movie and the second were so bad.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't know what is good, what could be made good out of it. Because I'm not a comic book person, so I just don't know that world so much. And I'm like, all right. And now they're teenagers? They're teenage
right.
scientists?
They're children.
Why is every scientist a teenager now?
Yep.
I don't know.
Thanks a lot, Doogie Howser.
Right. I'll go see it. I'm going to see it anyway, because I like seeing movies like that in a theater, because that's how they're intended to be seen. But I'm not really, like, drooling about it. Are you? Are you excited?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I love Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I love Michael Jordan.
Sure.
But nothing about every trailer I've seen, I've been like, maybe the next trailer will look cool.
Do you think it's the movie itself, or do you think it's oversaturation?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely oversaturated. Like, I mean, every comic book trailer that I see now, just when I hear that it's a comic book movie, I'm already like, you got work to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's
they're flooding
not
the market.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like sorry,
sides.
You really need to stick out.
Yeah.
But then just like on a movie alone, yet like nothing happens in the trailer. I'm like, oh man, yeah, that looks really interesting. I'm just like, I've seen that story told 800 different ways already.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see it again.
Mysterious scientist.
It's almost like you need to make a comic book hero movie with a atypical star. It's almost like that's what you're saying. Like, you got to make it different for me to be interested.
Which, by the way, Michael B. Jordan being black, his character being black, not Michael B. Jordan being black. He's always been black.
Mm-hmm.
But he's Human Torch, right?
Yes.
Human Torch being black, people would say that's innovation in casting.
Yeah. It's just too bad that it's in that movie.
I was also going to say, it feels like we're already getting to the point real quickly where, like, even that's not, like, going to, like, oh, cool.
Yeah. I hate it. It's just like, okay. Yeah.
People are like, if somebody Latino's like in a comic movie, it's like, great. Now one of my people's in some shit that I'm not crazy about. Great.
Isn't that lovely to have the option to dislike something that one of your people's in?
It's a great problem. I mean, that's the kind of problem I love to have. Don't
get
me wrong.
That's the best problem.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, these gay characters, I'm over it.
Yeah. And I don't get to say that about anything because I'm a white woman. I've watched my husband, as he's seen Indian Pakistani people get more, he's like, oh, good, I get to hate something an Indian or Pakistani person's in because I just don't like it and I don't have to, like, support it. Just because I got to represent.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's the Sarah Palin effect.
Is that what it is?
That's what I'm calling it.
I like it.
Because now there's finally like a woman that we can be like, no, she's too, I can't.
Oh, Sarah Palin's a woman. Okay, got it. That's right.
Gotcha. I just
can't. We wanted a woman.
Like but not
this one. Yeah.
We're not going to do it. You're too much. I can't support you at all.
Although, Rhea, if you say her name aloud, it does bring her back. So
it does make her stronger.
Her glasses get more glassy.
It's like Candyman.
Rifles get cleaner. Okay. Well, we'll do one more thing because there's like no. Well, we should give a shout out to Christopher Lee.
Oh,
rest in peace.
Always. Absolutely.
Christopher Lee. Ricky.
Because he gone, I know he gone. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
I mean, why not always?
Yeah. I used to think when I was a kid that he was in Sister Act 2, but you know what? He wasn't.
Why?
Christopher Lee?
Why did you think
I thought Christopher Lee played the...
Would you think he was Whoopi Goldberg?
Yes. As a child, I did not see color.
Oh, I love him in Ghost.
He's so good. As Guinan on Star Trek The Next Generation.
He's great as Guinan.
Jumbo
Jack
color
Flash.
Purple,
the color purple.
Color
so many
purple.
Things to Christopher Lee. Such an such a storied career.
Eddie? Is that what that's called? No, I don't know. I think I lost it on that one. Anyway.
All of his appearances on Comic Relief. Sorry, I'm not done yet.
I didn't love him on The View, though. Once he got on The View, I was like, I'm done.
On this view,
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
What a lovely man, though, huh?
What a lovely, lovely Christopher Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Arnold Schwarzenegger news, not only will they be making a non-Arnold Schwarzenegger Kindergarten Cop reboot, they're also making it possible, if you use Waze, for Arnold Schwarzenegger to navigate your drive.
Oh, that's great and horrible.
For Terminator Genesis.
Oh!
For that coming out like soon. I think this week you can use Arnie.
I tried to use Terry.
It's not
Crews.
A U-turn.
There we go.
I just came up with that.
That was good stuff.
It was coming out of my mouth.
That was good stuff. I switched to Terry Crews' voice when that was a thing he was doing. It is so terrifyingly distracting and not helpful traffic-wise to use a fun voice on Waze. I'm just going to let you guys know now. It is.
Thank you for the
Terry Crews did a
concern.
Great job. It's not his fault. But I was like, no, no, where do I turn? I was like stressing out so bad that I had to take it off immediately. So yeah. I might try Arnold. But
when I drove from Chicago to L.A., I used Beavis and Butthead as my GPS voice.
You're kidding me.
How did you get that?
It came actually with like the old, man, I don't even remember like what the company was when
did
it
you have
first
a Tom
started.
Tom?
Yes.
That's so cool.
And you could download like five of them, and like four of them were generic, and then the last one was like Beavis and Butthead. I was like, you gonna ask me that?
Cool.
I'm just gonna give me that one choice.
Oh, that's so perfect.
By day three, I was tired of being called a dumbass.
Day three? I don't think I could have made it through one day.
No, it was pretty great.
I just love picturing Mike Judge in a sound booth somewhere being like, turn left, dumbass. Yeah. Like, just having to do it over and over again and like Main Street or whatever, like having to say all the street names.
It'd be great.
Turn left on Butts.
If you started to get like close to your exit, he'd be like, get off! Get off! Ow! No! I was like,
that's
yes!
So cool!
Yeah, oh my God.
Pretty great.
So cool.
That
18 days to get here.
Amazing.
That's a very long time.
No, just be
okay.
Well, thank you, Beavis and Butthead, for getting Ricky into the booth.
Shout out to Beavis and Butthead.
On time, all the time. And Terry Crews for terrifying Emily Gordon. And we'll be back with special movies that made us right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every Tuesday, we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine, a show about all the dumb, weird, terrible ways that we've tried to fix each other over the years. You know, some light summer listening.
Maybe you want to hear about yogurt enemas, or why we tried to eat mummies for a while, or why drinking cholera diarrhea sounded like a good idea.
That and so much more is waiting for you every Tuesday right here on the Maximum Fun Network with Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Awesome, we are back, and I am going to do a Movies That Made Us this week. We haven't done one in a while. What's happening to me?
Take two. You got this.
How many of us smell toast right now? We could be having a stroke.
I smell grape bubblegum. That's the problem.
I just smell almond.
That's the almond milk coming to kill us. We haven't done a Movies That Made Us in a while, so I thought I would do one with an espionage spy theme for this show, since we're reviewing Spy later on. I would like to present to you a movie that made me, which just barely inches its way into the action and sci-fi. It's more of a drama, more of a thriller, but I just really wanted to talk about this movie, because who does anymore? It's 1987's No Way Out.
Ooh.
Okay.
Have you guys seen this movie?
Have I seen No Way Out?
I'm sure I have.
Because there's no way out. Yeah.
I have seen No Way Out. I'm a big fan of No Way Out.
Yeah.
Roger Donaldson joints.
Good gravy. How did you know that?
So proud of this stuff.
I am too, but not on Roger Donaldson.
Boom.
That is a serious
one. In this movie?
It stars Kevin Costner.
Okay.
Where did my names go? Kevin Costner, Sean Young,
ooh,
Gene Hackman, Will Patton, George Zunza, and last but definitely not least, Iman.
Iman's in a movie?
Iman
definitely not
is in this movie.
I have not seen this movie.
Iman is in this movie.
I'm bummed out. Is she good in the movie?
She's barely in it, but she's great. I mean, she's been
Iman.
In some other stuff, right?
Has she been in other
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I thought
Iman?
She...
I don't think so.
Anyway, well, she's good in this.
Okay.
She's very,
Prêt-à-porter. Is she
Iman.
In that?
Is it?
I don't know if that counts.
But it's directed, as Ricky said, by Roger Donaldson, who also directed Cocktail and, my personal favorite, Dante's Peak. Which I went to see in the theater with a slumber party, and it was one of the best nights of my entire life.
That sounds amazing.
It was so much fun.
It's a good night.
I love that scene when that grandma just dissolves in the lake. Oh, it's brilliant filmmaking. And it was written by Robert Garland. It's his adapted screenplay from the book, who he also wrote for Sanford and Son and The Bob Newhart Show. He like didn't write very many movies, mostly TV.
Wow.
This movie and Sanford and Son.
How old were you when you saw this movie?
I don't know. I definitely snuck this movie.
I was going to say.
There was that's why I wanted to say it was a movie that made me, because it was like the first, like, seriously, it's an adult movie. It
very
is R-rated.
So.
And I remember watching a sitcom that made reference to the limo scene in this movie. Because the limo scene is like just it's like softcore porn, yeah. Basically.
Ooh, Sean Young.
I was going to say, this is Sean Young. When the way you reacted to Sean Young,
yeah.
This is prime
this
Sean
is
Young
prime.
At her like most.
This is Sean Young
yeah.
Young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
she's
sex.
Yeah, yeah, big time.
Serious in this movie.
Yeah.
And her and Kevin Costner hook up in the back of a limo.
Ooh.
It's yeah. Real serious.
Real,
okay,
real steamy. And they just drive around Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So there's like so many shots, which I'm realizing now, I haven't seen in a long time. Like, it's just dick shots. It's like the Washington Monument. Like, they're just driving around, and they have to cut away.
That's
hilarious. And they cut away to...
And there's a cloud descending the Washington Monument really
back
quickly.
And forth and back and forth.
So fast.
Yeah, then there's, like, a fountain that just spraying, like, in... Anyway.
A lot of trains going into tunnels.
Oh,
hey,
so many trains.
Back out again. Back in. But I really liked this movie. I think it came out in 87,
yeah.
So I probably saw it in... Let's like 92.
Wow.
So I was 10, way too young to be seeing this movie.
I know, I saw this movie.
I watched it with my mom, and I would watch movies together, and she'd be like, okay, I have to fast forward now. So all the tapes, then when I got older and would watch the movies, they would have spots in them that were all worn out from being fast forward.
Yeah.
Like the sex scene in Terminator, like all
that's
that.
That's hilarious.
Know. Bull Durham, almost the whole movie was like that.
Very good sex, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, No Way Out is just like a really great. And it's Kevin Costner in his prime, too,
yeah.
Of getting to be like a sex god and like a naval officer.
So what's the premise?
The premise is that there's a love triangle between Sean Young, Kevin Costner, and Gene Hackman.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a murder. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil too much of the movie.
Yeah,
there's a murder, and then there's some sort of spy espionage.
Okay.
And there's like some double dealing and all kinds of stuff. But it's a really great 80s... thriller.
And just how you were saying, like, you were too young when you saw it, there's a moment in that movie, without giving anything away, mm-hmm. That movie's kind of a bit of ahead of its time in the sense of, like, there's a lot of things happen in the third act where you go, oh, shit, that's
yeah.
The movie I'm watching?
Right.
All
yeah,
right.
It does.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It doesn't suffer from third act problems.
No, yeah, yeah, not like, at all. Not
a
at
really
all.
Brilliant
third act solutions.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, and it builds in a really interesting way. There's, like, this... they find a negative in her house under her bed, like a film negative, I should specify, because there's probably some people that have never seen a film pack in their life.
Oh, shit, that's
listening
right.
To this show.
I didn't know that's what the negative you were talking about.
I think it's a Polaroid that is like a two-piece Polaroid where you have to take it apart. So there's two parts to the
okay.
Film. And so then the negative is left under the bed, and it's of Kevin Costner, and so it's scanning in the back, because the technology is so old, they're, like, scanning it to try to find the image in it, and it's scanning on a wall in the background of, like, the Pentagon, because that's where the central location of the whole story, and so it's like the clock is just visually ticking.
That's so funny.
For him to, like, yeah, so it's pretty great.
I feel like filmmakers and, like, script writers in the 80s had, like, they don't know how good they had it, that they had,
no,
like...
No, they do not.
Like, it was hard to get in touch with people, and
yeah.
Stuff took time,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes... And you couldn't always get a phone.
Yeah.
And,
just put a dog in the movie.
Yeah, that created so much tension in movies that we just don't have now.
Yeah.
Pre-enhanced technology.
Yeah.
And you just go, enhance!
In the movie we're talking about today.
Exactly.
It's just, like, a side, like, enhance, and she's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, a skill that's hard. She just goes, okay.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Could you zoom in on this for me?
I was hoping they were going to make that a running joke when that happened.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, are we going to get some enhanced jokes right now?
No.
And they didn't.
Sadly, no.
No.
But anyway, you guys should check out No Way Out and watch that limo scene and see what this little kid shouldn't have seen. And I didn't see it. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
You still haven't seen it.
I still haven't seen it. I'm too nervous. I fast forward it. I close my eyes and I shut my ears. And then Cameron taps me on the shoulder when it's over. And then I'm like, okay, phew. I'm saving that one for when I'm 50.
Solid movie. No Way Out. Solid movie for when you're 50.
Solid 50-year-old movie.
Solid 50-year-old movie.
And we'll be back with our review of Spy after this.
Ty is a pedantic person. I think when he pronounces these words, it's in a very show-offy way. Gyro.
Yiro.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
Ayers Rock.
Uluru.
What you are witnessing is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with real cases. They call in via Skype to Judge John Hodgman's court, the real People's Court. Now I call you to Judge John Hodgman's internet court. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
We are back with our review of Spy, which is currently in theaters right now. I think it's been out for a little while, so hopefully you guys have seen it, because it's great. You should go see it. It's a lot of fun. And we're going to spoil the movie. So if you haven't seen it, just pause it and then come back and listen to the rest of this episode after you've gone and seen the movie. Cool? Great. Awesome. You guys, Spy is written and directed by Paul Feig. Maker of The Heat and Bridesmaids, also a lot of TV.
Ghostbusters,
Yes. Forthcoming Ghostbusters.
He just decided, I'm going to work with all the ladies, and now he has a stable of the craziest talent.
Of the best ones?
Yeah. Craziest talent in general, because he was the one that was like, I'll just do this.
I'll do this, yeah.
And then now, he's like, okay.
A lot of people are like, because I keep talking to people about Spy just on the street. I'm like barkering for Spy everywhere I go. But people are like, I wonder if he's just doing it to, like, do you think he's genuine about it, or is he just doing it for the... And I want to be like, do you know it's pretty hard to, like, get women movies about women through? Yeah. So he's got to want to do it for some amount.
I also think, kind of ultimately, who cares if it's getting made?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And also,
you're not here for the right reason.
Yeah, the content leads me to believe that he is making movies
absolutely
for the benefit of female audiences and pushing female film through, because it's not... Nothing that's in there makes me go, this seems insidious.
Yeah, yeah, right. No.
Like, they're good movies.
Yeah.
Or at least if you're not into them, you cannot say they're terrible movies.
Yeah, no. They're genuinely funny.
Yeah, genuinely funny movies. And, I mean, it's doing really well. It made $15.6 million at the box office. However, Jurassic World has already made $208.8 million in a single weekend.
It has dinosaurs.
Yeah, it has dinosaurs.
Was but that Spy... DNA? That dinosaur? Was that DNA from the original Jurassic Park dinosaurs? it had that dinosaurs.
That was me doing a little kid voice.
Dinosaurs.
I like dinosaurs.
Dinosaur with wigs.
That was weird.
I heard a story about this movie before I saw it, that Paul Feig was having dinner with Melissa McCarthy and was telling her about a movie he was writing about a bumbling spy sidekick that, you know, has to go in and rescue her boss or whatever, or his boss, because originally it was supposed to be a dude.
Yes.
Now, Melissa McCarthy's character was like just a bumbling, like a Seth Rogen-esque.
It was like
kind of
a Bond spoof that he had.
Yes,
had
exactly.
For a while.
That you're just like a dumb, schlubby guy. And Melissa McCarthy was like, I'd love to, and now this could be all bullshit, but I've heard this, was like, I'd love to play a part like that. Would you even think about me being that part? And he was like, oh, fuck yeah. And then he, like, changed up the movie. Whether or not this is a true story, I don't know, but I did read it in a trade.
Yeah,
I believe. But I just love that, because when I was watching the movie, I was thinking about the fact that, like, all of this could have easily been a dude character.
I was thinking the
100%.
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
So easy for it to just be whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this movie, it also has a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes versus a 70% for Jurassic World. So, you know, where it really counts, which is in the intellectual department, obviously, no one cares about the money. But Mad Max Fury Road stands at 98%, and Inside Out, which is not released yet, has 100%.
How could it not? How?
Because critics have already seen it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so they're
giving that one, too.
What's Inside Out?
Inside Out is the Pixar movie.
Where each emotion has
the emotions. Yes, thank you.
And it's like Amy Poehler's movie, basically.
I know they're completely different, but I am constantly getting that mixed up with Pixels.
I don't know, for sure. I think they're going to be slightly different.
Yeah.
But I bring that up just because, like, there's so many female-driven movies this summer.
Yeah.
I'm just pretty stoked about it. Now we just have to have, like, women of color in movies, and then we'll be golden, right?
Yeah.
Because it's all white women so far. But we're getting there.
We're working on it.
Right?
We're trying.
We're working.
Thanks, ladies. Thank you, ladies.
Keep working. But, yes. So a quick plot description of Spy is a desk-bound CIA analyst volunteers to go undercover to infiltrate the world of a deadly arms dealer and prevent diabolical global disaster. So did you guys have any stray observations about this movie before we get into the just bests and worsts about it?
I just to add on to what Emily was saying earlier, and it was kind of talked about like the character being like clumsy and bumbling. It was really great to like watch her. there's a great reveal that happens where Allison Janney like shows her her clip on like her training.
Her training clip.
Yeah, yeah.
In the gun range tactical house that she's.
And Allison Janney's like, what the fuck? Yeah. God damn it, that's hilarious. But it was just great to see a character who's like, oh, you're already the best at what you do, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to have to watch a movie where it's like, I'm going to have to figure out how to be a spy.
That's very true.
Because that movie, I mean, that again, that's just like something we have already seen before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always great when you watch a comedy when it's like, oh, that's the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we're going to watch them fuck up still being the smartest person in the room, and or just, you know, comedic
because,
in any way.
Because the thing that I liked about this movie is that it's pointing out that the room mm-hmm. is not made for her. Like, it's not that she isn't good at her job or is incapable.
Yeah.
It's that she never gets chances. And, like, it's kind of saying, like, women don't get a ton of chances. And then how does she fit in this world? Because it's not made for her. Because she's not, like, a skinny, svelte, like, action person.
Yeah.
And also, like, Allison Janney, too, like, just the way she says it in the movie, too. Just like, oh, yeah, that shit happened to you. Happens to all of us.
Oh,
when she's like, oh, you got
women.
Sniped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys do that all the time. It was just such a matter of fact thing. Like, yeah, that shit. You be on the lookout for that next time. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and Allison Janney, I think in that conversation is like, yeah, it used to be way worse before I got here.
Before I got here.
And I turned to, I like touched Ricky on the shoulder because we were sitting next to each other, and I just looked at him. I was like, I can't believe they're saying this to each other. I can't believe there are two women on screen saying this to each other in an action comedy movie that people are like talking about. I can't believe this is happening in front of my face.
They can sell this movie. You know how they sell horror movies sometimes with like the the infrared camera where it like shows people. There should just be a camera of like me and Rhea watching this movie in the audience because we were giggling like fucking children falling over
every
time.
I saw it by myself. It was laughing like a crazy.
Were there people laughing in the theater with you?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Like when we went, people were laughing so hard. And there was a woman that I think went, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like she couldn't believe what was happening that she was watching. And for like Jason said, it's like I have not seen a comedy like this in so long.
Yeah, it's a fun kind of goofball. I also really liked, and it's such a tiny little thing, but like just the idea that every single one of these Bond guys, the reason they know that there's a guy around the corner is that there's a person in their earpiece telling them that there's someone around the corner. I like that. I was like, oh, that's a fun way to do that. Like it's never been about them.
I didn't even think about that.
It's always been about these people in the basement who are like, okay, there's three guys in front of you. Duck, do this, do this.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's why they're so great. They're great because they have people in their ear telling them how to be great. Jude Law's not that great at his job.
No,
in this movie,
he's pretty terrible.
Also, American accent, Jude Law. Come on,
it was pretty funny.
What are we doing?
That was hilarious.
Let him out.
Let him be. Absolutely.
He's Jude Law. Peter Serafinovich. I can't even say it. Got to do a couple of accents.
Oh yeah.
let him talk how he wants.
I did think Jude Law was amazing in it. Though.
He was very good.
Like just Jude Lawing it up so much. I loved how he was just like, like just flipping his face to the camera. Oh, God.
I feel like all of the male CIA agents were kind of dumbasses.
Yes.
In some ways.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Every single one of them, including Jude Law, who, by the way. It's such a classic dumb like, oh, I got to do this necklace because you like cupcakes, right?
Yes.
God, that scene
could not believe.
But I never got the sense that he was using her. He kind of was, but he wasn't like on purpose. Like I'm going to string this bitch along.
Oh yeah. He just was stupid. He just
was a dummy.
Yeah, exactly. It's not
mean
spirited. It's like, oh, you don't know any better, you dumbass.
And he just like wouldn't even think that you know, like he just she wouldn't even walk into his world, basically.
No, not at all.
In his mind.
And it makes sense too. That like Melissa McCarthy never like gets like angry at him in the sense of like.
Fuck you.
Yeah. It's always, it's in the end, it seems it's like, hey, man, you're missing out on this, dude.
I loved that. That was like the perfect, the perfect ending of that little love story to have her just be like, yeah, I'm going with my friend.
Yeah, because they could never, that's never going to be a good relationship.
No, not at all.
From the start, and if I had been with someone, I would have poked them and said this. I was like, the chemistry between Jason Statham and Melissa McCarthy was crackling.
Oh, so hot.
I said, not since Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin in Midnight Run. If I enjoyed seeing people say fuck so much.
But to me, it was like a sexy chemistry. I was like, oh, these guys.
Oh, really?
I called it to myself. I was like, oh, they're going to end up in bed. I want them to end up together. Because I was like, what a great, like, they match each other. Once he realized how great she was, he was like, we are the same.
God damn it, I never even thought of that. Yeah. That's hilarious.
But so when they ended up, spoiler, in bed together at the end, and she's like screaming, I was like, no, he's great. Stay with him.
Yeah.
Because how great was Jason Statham in this
movie?
How
hilarious is he?
He's
God
so good.
Damn it.
I love him.
And they did, I forget who I was, talking to you, Ricky, about it? How, like, they repeated something that was so good in this movie is that the repetition of his joke.
Of all the things he did.
Yeah, we talked about that.
The first time, it was really long and really intense. The second time, it was shorter and more intense in content. And then the last time, it was really short and just batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the perfect escalation of that joke.
Yeah.
It was like, just do it, like, three times, and we'll do it this many times. They just, like, went back to square one with comedy instead of making it this... I mean, I don't even know what the espionage plot was, because it was so much fun. And that's what, like, an action comedy movie should be.
Yeah.
It, like, doesn't need to have some highfalutin crazy
plot. Yeah, at some point it was like, I will build this amazing machine to control all the water. Like, you know, we'll just buy the technology from you. That's a really great technology.
Yeah.
You don't have to do this. We'll just give you the money.
Yeah.
We need this technology. I think it's too complicated. I like the, I just want a nuke.
Yep.
And I'm going to trade diamonds for it, but call them euros for no reason. They kept saying they were euros, and I was like, those are clearly diamonds. Those are not euros. I don't know what you're doing.
And how great was, like, the kill shot at the beginning of the movie?
The sneeze shot? That was amazing. There were a lot of really grotesque, gross murder.
Yeah.
The knife through the hand.
Yes.
Yeah,
when
she pukes
on the body after breaking his ankle.
That was so great. I love the amounts of, like, realism that came in of, like, yeah, this woman's been in a basement this whole time.
She just killed someone.
She's good at her job because she's practiced it, but she's never done it in the world. And of course you would just straight up vomit on somebody.
After you do that disgusting shit to them, yeah.
There is something hilarious because we just did Shaun of the Dead, that's right?
We did Hot Fuzz.
We did Hot Fuzz.
Yeah,
and at the end of Hot Fuzz, it's disgusting, but it's hilarious when Timothy Dalton just fucking lands on that thing that goes through his mouth. And yeah, just saying, the comedies where they know how to do that, where it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go this crazy with a joke, this crazy with the violence as well.
Yeah.
So you can't laugh at
just
it. It's
real
really
visceral,
funny.
Insane.
I forgot her throwing up over there.
I forgot about it, too.
God damn, that was funny.
I'm glad you brought that movie up, because I honestly think this is the best action comedy since Hot Fuzz. Like, I think these are the two best action comedies in the past, I don't know, 15 years?
I can remember Roger Donaldson, and I can't remember any fucking comedies from the last 5 years. God damn it.
I know, right?
But there's no good. Ricky and I were walking back from the theater to get to his car.
We were trying
to think of the top comedy of 2014. Summer comedy of 2014.
Yeah.
Couldn't find it. Because everything is like a sequel.
Last year, yeah. What did we end up finding?
Well,
yeah, 22 Jump Street.
Is what we ended up on.
Which I didn't love that movie. I like parts of it, but I didn't love it.
I haven't seen either of them.
It's all right.
There was no round one comedy from last year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And before that, was it Bridesmaids? Is that what it was?
2011 or 12.
No.
Jeez.
Yes. It was a while ago. Well, The Heat was 2013.
Okay.
I think. And even that didn't do that well. But it came out in 2013, which I happened to catch the end of The Heat in the hotel. And I was like, this movie is hilarious. I was laughing the whole time I was watching it.
I often, when I mix up The Heat and Heat, don't do that. Different movies. If you want one experience and you get the other one, you're going to be weirded out.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. They're very
different,
very
movies.
Different films.
Yep.
Both about cops, not about the same thing. So let's get into our bests and worsts. Emily, what is your worst thing about this movie?
Okay, I have two things.
Okay.
One, and I just saw this movie like 3 hours ago, so I thought the plane scene was so stupid.
The
scene where they're in the plane and like she's like, she keeps flying and they're all like floating and then
sure.
they slam back and like and there's like a guy's head in her butt or whatever. I was like, to me, I heard some producer going, I need a bigger set piece, more crazy, silly, zany comedy, more of it. Somehow they were shooting holes in the plane, but things were getting stuck to the hole.
Yeah.
And literally when the gun got sucked into one of the holes that he shot with the gun, the gun got sucked up, and Melissa McCarthy literally goes, well, that's weird. And I was like, yes, you're saying that about this movie scene because it's a very implausible scene.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that I was like, come on, guys. Yeah. And everything else was so pitch perfect to me that not the movie, that to me just felt a little off. And the other thing that weirded me out was that the joke in the very, not weirded me out, but the joke in the very beginning of Melissa McCarthy and her friend at the bar and everyone's ignoring them because they're not attractive women. So they can't get served at the bar. To me, I was like, that's going to be how she gets in.
Oh,
that's going to be how she spies, is that because she's an overweight white woman who's kind of like, whatever, she's going to just be able to sneak in anywhere because no one notices women like that. And
that's
I was like,
funny.
What a genius thing way for her to do it. That being said, I really enjoy Melissa McCarthy, like, dressed to the nines, looking like a babe, like, you know, stomping around. I highly enjoyed that. But I was like, oh, that's going to be the thing that they use the whole movie. And then they never used it again. Never used it in any of her spy stuff.
It was just one throwaway joke.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas I think in Amy Schumer's show this season.
Yeah, I just watched that episode where she's like a cop. She does a great job because somebody's like, are you a bag of leaves?
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, she's like a dumpy girl, so nobody notices her, and she can infiltrate any society whatsoever. I just think that's a really funny, really deep-cutting, kind of interesting thing, and they only used it the one time.
Yeah.
Those are my only real problems with the movie, I would say. Other than that, I love the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ricky, what's your worst part?
I would say, I wasn't crazy about that joke. Excuse me. Hey, shout out to me losing my voice this whole episode.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good. I wasn't crazy about that scene with that joke where, like, they couldn't be seen. Like, it just seemed, I don't know.
You weren't crazy about the first scene where
Okay. Like, I just didn't find, like, I was like, well, I'm not laughing very much right
now.
I know that these are all jokes, but I'm not laughing that much right now.
Probably because it hit so hard.
You know, I was
those
like,
jokes hit you in the
too
face.
Real, yo. Too real. Real was like, sit down, Ricky. Too real. And also, there was I like the idea of spies having to, like, they always have somebody in the air and they're telling them what to do. Just the same thing with, like, watching a movie that's, like, shaky cam. At one point, I was like, I need you to stop cutting back to whoever
to
is in that location and just stay with Melissa McCarthy.
Okay.
Because I just kept being like, all right, now I'm out of that sequence again, or now I'm out of that scene again.
What
and
did
there's
you
times
think?
Where I just wanted to be like, just keep moving Melissa McCarthy and I can hear her every once.
I'll just be able to hear her.
At one point, that's why I was glad Melissa McCarthy
like a split
was like,
screen?
Maybe? Or you mean not even hear them, just have...
Not even, I would be, when Melissa McCarthy's like, hey, I can't take you anymore, I'm going to shut you off. I was like, yes, thank you, because I just need to, I want to see what she is doing and be all invested in her.
And what did you think of Tall British? I don't know who that woman is.
Yeah, I don't.
But what did you think?
I don't know who she is. The weakest link in the chain.
No.
I don't disagree with you. There were so many strong actors, and I felt like she... was like on loan from a BBC show.
Yeah.
And did she, and maybe even not weak, but just she felt out of step with everybody else in the movie to me.
Yeah. I felt like,
do you think
when
they
I was
cast
watching...
her because they wanted Melissa McCarthy to be, you know, like,
I think they wanted a very tall actress,
around.
But they were very tall, really, like Lucy Punch is a very tall, very funny actress.
Oh, I just mean like they cast somebody, an unknown.
Maybe.
So that,
oh, I see what you're saying.
If it was Melissa McCarthy and Rose Byrne and, I don't know, Sandra Bullock or something as her.
Maybe.
Like, then it would be a shared movie instead of it being Melissa McCarthy's movie.
Maybe that's right. Something about it.
Something about her, I just felt like, are you trying to, it felt like in the credits it should have been, and introducing.
Yes.
Like, oh, I should get to know who this person is.
She's very famous in England. Yeah.
I got that vibe. Yeah. Like, I should probably know who she is,
she's
but I don't.
She's huge in Tasmania.
Oh, and I just thought of the other thing I didn't
Tasmania.
Like. 50 Cent turning up in the helicopter at the
50
end. What are you doing?
I don't know. I love
50
that.
50 Cent.
I loved him, like, signing autographs and being like, oh, I caught those terrorists. Well, if Kanye didn't do that shit.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so
hilarious.
Funny.
That's very funny.
But him turning up the helicopter, I was like, oh, that day, I'm sure that scene took so long to film. Just like this British actress who's already tackled him once, 50 Cent, in a helicopter. Yeah, that scene, I was like, come on, guys. Come on.
That Kanye line is, like, immediately I was like, I wonder if they had to contact Kanye and be like, hey, there's this joke about
you, right?
Oh, God.
People are talking about me.
Yeah, you'll see Kanye doing that shit. Damn, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's a very funny
line. Y'all need to see spy people.
What were your worst?
You guys want to know what my worst is?
Yeah, what's your worst movie in this movie?
Nothing.
Whoa!
Come on, Rhea.
I'm not kidding. Every now and then I say no worst parts. And I don't have one. I do respect both of your worst parts.
Okay.
Because I understand.
Yeah.
Not everything's perfect, but I actually don't have a problem
all
with this movie.
All of it contributed to you enjoying the movie.
It just all fit together.
I always think of it like, if I'm enjoying a movie overall, and I'm like, oh, it's right here. What if it's a balloon?
Absolutely.
I think of, like, is there anything that's, like, pulling the balloon down a little bit? And that's the only way I've, and, like, those were the only things that, like, pulled the balloon down. Otherwise, the balloon was floating like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, my balloon was way up in the air, like, so high I couldn't take it with me.
It went away.
It went away. It went away with me.
I'm going to steal a balloon floating like a motherfucker from you.
Yeah, no, that's a great
visualization.
It's
a sign of confidence, yo, man. Your balloon is floating like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it just makes me think of the red balloon, which makes me feel think of happiness. So
many
perfect.
Things. So many things.
Well, speaking of happiness, Emily, what's your best part of Spy?
Oh, I mean, honestly, the whole, I mean, I love
the
when,
movie.
I like when she got to be, I loved when she turned up badass, and was, like, stomping through after she, like, got her makeover and was, like, stomping through. I'm a sucker for makeovers in any shape or form.
And she just got to wear something that she liked.
Yeah.
Instead, because they, you know, were dressing her like a cat lady. And like, one of my favorite lines just about that section of the movie is when she's like, I look like somebody's homophobic aunt. And I love that she said homophobic instead of, I don't know, it was just, like, perfect.
Anything,
it's so
funny. Yeah, it was a good line. She had a lot of really, really good, a lot of good takes, a lot of good asides. Her timing is so good. And it was edited well, because obviously comedy is just all in the editing. I love Rose Byrne. I didn't think I was going to love her. And I love that they had a begrudging respect for each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I love like, that at the end they were like,
friends
kind
a little
of friends.
Yeah.
Because I love that her tactic was like, I'm just going to put this girl in her place by like shitting on her. Mm-hmm. And it totally worked. And I think that Rose Byrne's character really appreciated it. And I love the little moment where they exchange a smile at the end. I thought that was really, really cute. So maybe that was my favorite.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Ricky, what's your best part?
I know I just poo-pooed on Tall British Girl, but I really love the whole cast of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just seemed to be like on the right note for like jokes and the timing. I mean, fucking that scene between Rose Byrne and Melissa McCarthy.
The plane scene where they're talking.
Outside of the action part.
Yeah, the action
part. When they're just like sitting down talking to each other and she does that. Is it when they're on the plane or when they're in the restaurant and she does the toast?
I think it's on the plane.
And Rose Byrne says this is most...
She goes, what a fucking retarded toast. And I hate that word.
Me too.
But I still laughed so hard at that joke.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said the
so hard.
Editing as well, because at one point Melissa McCarthy is going off on her and she says, what was another one we talked about afterwards? Like a slutty dolphin trainer,
and
then
cuts
it cuts
right
to Rose Byrne, and
exactly perfect.
That's like fucking comedy 101.
That was
right
a Melissa
there.
McCarthy ad lib. I would bet a million, and I don't know her in the slightest, but that feels like when you ever see the extra footage of her and she's just like throwing out insults.
Yeah,
it feels like something she would have said in like an ad lib.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah, just the cast of this movie was so fucking on point. That I thought it was hilarious.
Shout out to Bobby Cannavale.
Sometimes I be bitching and moaning about when I don't see my people on screen. And
Bobby
sometimes
Cannavale.
My people are on screen and I don't know it. Shout out to Cubano. Bobby Cannavale.
And also he and Rose Byrne are like in love.
Yeah.
And have been in like 18 movies together.
So many movies
since
together.
They fell in love.
Well, shout out to their amor también.
She's a really funny actress. Rose Byrne is great, and I like that we're
so
using her appropriately
funny.
As a person. She's fantastic.
She is like a perfect straight man.
Yeah.
You know, of just like.
She's great in Neighbors, man. I love her in Neighbors so much.
I feel like her and Melissa McCarthy could just have like a take off.
Absolutely.
For days.
Yeah.
And neither one of them would break.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I would pay so much money to just watch 2 hours of them working that movie out.
Oh, and
the
face-off
machine. Sorry.
The face-off machine, right?
I just remembered.
No, you have it. He's just hiding it from me.
I know it's real.
Zach Woods in a tiny, tiny part.
Oh,
right. Right?
Where his throat dissolved.
No, yeah.
Oh,
what a horrifying
awesome.
Thing. And I've asked him about it. He's like, I'm barely in it. And I was like, oh, I'm sure. He is kind. I mean, he's in like one scene, but it's quite memorable. And he gets to have like a fake Russian accent that's a real Russian accent, I guess. Tremendous. He did a great job.
Yeah. Killed it.
Shout out to Zach Woods.
Shout out to Zach Woods.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Silicon Valley.
Hell yeah. Yep. Jared. So I have so many bests, but I'm going to narrow it down. I love that Melissa McCarthy gets to be pretty.
Absolutely.
In the way that she wants to be pretty.
And not overly sexual. Like, she's not like constantly trying to fuck everyone because isn't that hilarious
right.
when fat girls want
to
fuck?
Yes. I love that this movie is not like, let's laugh at this fat girl.
Mm-hmm.
It is, whoa, look how ridiculous this world is that this overweight woman has to live in.
Yes.
Because, like, the world's not made for her, and she has to catch up with people that are running way faster than her. And, like, the mini bike, the little thing with
lands in the thing.
Who puts a hood on the... Oh, God, it's so... And then when her husband walks up to get directions...
Her actual husband, yeah.
Her actual husband
that's
is
hilarious.
Like... I mean, they're, like, showing all this tension of back and forth, and then he's like, excuse me. Like, what a... God,
very
it's...
funny.
God, it's perfect.
I like that the people, when you're laughing, you're not laughing at her, you're laughing at the people who underestimate her.
Everything
because everybody's
her.
Underestimating, and you're like, oh, you guys are not going to be able to deal with her.
Yeah.
And there's so many times that two women are on screen and they're talking to each other. And
Bechdel?
Yes, it passes the Bechdel test so much. Yeah. The only time they're talking about men is because they work with men.
Yeah.
And they're coworkers or they're villains in the story or something. And I loved, you guys were talking about the enhanced scene. I realized I'd never seen two women do that. I'd never heard one woman tell another woman, enhance it. And it's always co-ed or two dudes. I loved that. And Ricky cracked up so much when that one woman turns around and her computer screen has wigs 20% off flashing. Like,
that was very funny. Because she's like, until he checks in, I don't have anything to do. Yeah. I'm just looking at wigs.
And she's doing, like, shopping for the office, you know?
I think she's like, I think she, because I just saw this, I think she's actually doing the thing where you can try hairstyles on a picture of yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right.
So it's her with, like, a pink wig on.
Great.
So funny.
So good. But my absolute favorite part is when Melissa McCarthy gets a real action scene. That kitchen fight scene is like an amazingly shot. All of the action is so well shot. It's like watching Fury Road. Like, you never lose track of what's going on. You can pay attention to everything and follow it. And that fight scene in the kitchen is amazing.
Yeah.
And that scene should win, like, a Tony and an Oscar and an Emmy.
And no
and a
one,
Grammy.
The other lady didn't make the joke of, well, you would know how to handle a frying pan.
Yeah,
that never
yeah.
happened.
No, yeah. no. It just
I was waiting for it to happen and it did not happen.
It's just what's
made
around.
Me happy. Yeah.
And she gets to win. I love that Melissa McCarthy gets to win, like, every situation that sucks. Then she ends up winning each of those situations in her own way.
Absolutely.
Like, she doesn't get catcalled. Those guys' jaws drop when they see her because they're like, holy shit.
Yep.
That cat lady is hot. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So, Emily, on a scale of 1 to 5, taught myself piano at a late age. How many... we just make up silly names for our reviews. So it's just
fair.
1 to 5, learned piano at a late age. It doesn't matter. Just
I guess I still don't get it. 5?
Perfect.
There we go.
Beautiful. Let's see. Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, dear God, that's a dissolved throat. How many dear God, that's a dissolved throat do you give it?
I will give this a solid 4.5.
Nice.
Dear God, that is a dissolving throat.
Yeah. Great. Mm. Ricky, what's mine? You got to throw me one.
Oh, okay. Rhea. On a scale of 1 to 5, there's a rat on my tit.
Oh, great. Good one.
How many rats are on your tit?
5 rats are on my
five
tit.
Rats.
I now get it, just so you can say.
Okay, good.
I'm
glad.
Think I'm dumb.
I should have gone with Ricky first. I'm so sorry, Emily.
It's okay.
Oh,
so
man.
That whole vermin storyline is just
it's so weird,
but I loved
it. I almost feel like it's so weird that I can't be bothered by it.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah.
It starts off so with such the over-the-top bats.
Bats everywhere.
Yeah. Bats everywhere.
And
like, it doesn't build to bats. It starts off with bats. And I was like,
they
all right.
They were spies somehow. The bats were spying on them. I was like, maybe that'll come back. And then I was like, maybe they just wanted something kooky to happen in the office.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Yes. I think that was what it was.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the Office reference, because there's a bat in the office.
I don't know. Office hijinks.
Anyway. So, Emily, what would you like to leave everyone with this week?
Oh, I would say, as I have seen a lot of movies this weekend, I saw an indie movie called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and it is really, really, really good.
Awesome.
The title of the movie is kind of the premise of the movie. It's these two friends who are both kind of outcasts in school, high school, who make movies together and have been making movies together since they were little kids, and they befriend a dying girl, and that's kind of it. It's not a perfect movie, but it's pretty, pretty close, and I think that kid, that character, is kind of like a millennial Lloyd Dobler, and he's very sweet, and he's very... It's like romance for, like, an age... that I am not.
Sure.
Romance for a younger age, and also very funny and not twee and not sentimental and not saccharine and not It's not a tear. You will cry, but it's not a tearjerker. I think the tone they set is one movies can rarely pull off.
Awesome.
Go see it.
Sounds great.
Word.
Ricky, what are you going to leave us with this week?
Some shout-outs to just great things that happened to me this weekend. Can I give a shout-out to Rosie Perez's dancing at the beginning of Do the Right Thing? Please?
Have you seen that video, that Soul Train supercut of her?
No.
Ricky,
what?
I'm sending this to you immediately.
Jesus. Oh, goodness.
Everybody,
Christ.
Just Google Rosie Perez Soul Train, please, immediately. It's
oh,
important. She looks so angry.
That sounds
what?
Great.
It's the best dancing I've ever seen. I'm sorry. Please continue.
Oh, well, shout out to Emily just telling me that. Can I give a shout out to Duna Bay in Sense8? Please. Amazing what she's doing.
Okay.
Shout out to Seth Brendel's first and second vomit attack in The Fly. And shout out to Jackie Cruz, Diane Guerrero, and Berto Colon in Orange is the New Black. They're killing it.
They really are. Those things are amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to leave you guys with...
Rhea, what would you like to leave us with?
Thank you, Ricky. I would like to leave you with the show Halt and Catch Fire. Because I halted and I caught fire.
Did you catch?
I did. I caught fire. I'm a big caught fire head all of a sudden. I started watching it in a hotel room, and it was, like, interesting, and so I went back and watched it all and really loved it. And I realized it was just a matter of time before we were all going to watch Halt and Catch Fire, because I think AMC is doing something really crazy. I don't know if they've gotten an actual algorithm for this, but, like, they make shows, and they give them, like, one season, and mm-hmm. if they believe in the show, they're like, okay, just hang on.
Yeah.
We have these other shows mm-hmm. that they're going to be taking most of the time, and then you guys just wait and keep making this great thing, and then it'll be your turn eventually. And I think that's what's happening
that's
for this show. Because, like, I didn't start watching Mad Men until the second season, and mm-hmm. I didn't start watching Breaking Bad until the second season
that's
either.
That's very true.
So now I'm watching this show. But there's a bisexual male character.
Is it Lee Pace?
Yes. He's bisexual. Yeah. That is literally never on television. Yeah. Sorry for my use of literally there. And then the gal that plays, there's women on the show, and obviously they're limited by it being, you know, like a computer world and blah, 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 all that stuff. But there are two women on this show. They don't get to talk to each other, but that's just how it is. But they're talking about themselves. And they each have ideas that they want to follow through on. And I don't know. It's just a great show. Like, they do as much as they possibly can in the diversity department with the limitations of what they happen to be making, which is a show that's set in 1983 in Silicon Plains, I think is what they call it.
They didn't call it Valley back then.
It was in Texas. It's like Austin, I think. But anyway, the gal that plays the main female character's name is Cameron, so that's a little confusing when I watch it alone in my house when Cameron's out of town, just because people are shouting Cameron in my house. Anyway, you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. It's weird. It's not
that
a popular name.
Nobody shouts Kumail on television ever.
Hey, not yet.
Not yet.
But you guys should watch that show because it's super fun. So, awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Watch that. So, and next week we'll be watching San Andreas, which is in theaters now. Until next week, I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Emily Gordon.
And I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded by Lindsay Pavlis at Maximum Fun Studios. Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you, Max Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.